Good morning. My name is Brandon Dorrington. Today we have Mr. Bellard Ernest, and he is a man of honor, has great character, and is a mentor and an example to a lot of youth throughout the city of New Orleans. And for the last 13 months, he has been an inspiration and a guide for veterans in Bastion Community of Resilience in Gentilly, which is designed to help veterans transitioning from the military into civilian society. So, Mr. Ernest, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Bellard Ernest. I'm 60 years of age. I'm a veteran of the United States Coast Guard. I served for 4 years. And I was a seaman on a construction tender for about 3 years, and I worked in storekeeping for the other year. And I was discharged, and now I'm totally blind, and I'm totally blind.
Yes, sir. So, Mr. Ernest, today the topic of discussion is youth development. And youth development comes in various different forms. Some take the path of education to develop the youth. Some take the path of sports, entertainment. Some take the path of vocational skills and trade. And some take the path of least resistance. Some take what their talents are, and they learn how to use them and shape them in such a way to help youth that sometimes might not be successful in schools. Sometimes, you know, youth come from broken homes, and they have a rare way of exercising their potential and a way, and they have alternative methods at getting out what they have on their mind and how they feel in certain ways. Some of those ways might be through rap, storytelling, poetry. The most common name we use, you know, in the 21st century is rap. And we've heard a lot about a particular organization or a club that you and a friend of yours had on Canal and Rampart Street before Katrina. So do you mind telling us, you know, around what year and exactly how you and Darlene got started and what exactly you guys did to help the youth?
I believe it was about 2004 that it got started. Maybe 2003. Her son got this building, and he started using it for rap contests. And we took a lot of youths from around the city, and we brought them in. And it was called Put Down the Guns and Pick Up the Mic.
Put Down the Guns and Pick Up the Mic.
Right. And they came in, and what we collected at the doors was the prize for the winner. And, you know, we had like a first prize, like $300, and the second was $100, and the third was maybe $50. And the youths came in, and they actually got along. They came from all parts of the city, and we had a real good time. It was a good turnout, and we supported them. We supported them 100% meaning that a lot of times they were getting harassed by the police on the corner of Rampart and Canal, and we stepped out the building and told them what they was doing, and, you know, we supported them, and they let them go, and they came in and did what they had to do, and they looked up to us for that. And it was a good program. I think we had it until Katrina, and then we left the building closed, and we didn't get back into that again.
Okay. So, Mr. Ernest, do you remember any specific times that you had that event, any specific days that kind of stood out to you, or when the youth heard about putting down the guns and picking up the mic, did that particular title stand out, or did it manifest itself in the physical realm by use, maybe it, instead of going to put down the guns and pick up the mic, say for example, instead of coming there and they went somewhere else to a club or something, do you think that their chances in getting into some trouble or getting into any type of negative behavior going elsewhere other than put down the guns and pick up the mic on Fridays, do you think that coming there, it decreased the chances of the youth getting into any trouble?
Yeah, it did. And I remember a particular one youth we had that's doing his thing right now. We had Lil Wayne used to come to.
Okay.
And he's doing his thing now. And yes, I think that we stopped a lot of things that could have been going on a Friday, because they were really glad to come there. And let me go back for a minute where you was talking about broken homes, because I came from a broken family. Mm-hmm. And a lot of youths now feel, not a lot of them, but there's a few youths that feel rejected, because I felt rejection. I just outgrew it, I would imagine. But broken families is a hard thing for youths to deal with, especially African-American youths. Mm. I know it was tough for me because I felt rejected by one of my parents. The one that left was my dad. But I outgrew that. And I had to change my lifestyle because of losing my sight. You know, I was a kind of, I guess, terrible kid. But I had to change my lifestyle in order to adjust to this blindness. And I think what we were doing with youths was giving them love. Mm. And that's what they needed. Mm. You know, that's what they needed to be strong. They needed strengthening. And they needed to know that we didn't have to hurt each other to communicate. Mm. And that's what put down the mics and, I mean, put down the guns and pick up the mics did. Mm. You know, it showed that they can actually get along with each other, rapping, you know, like freestyling head to head, talking about each other, and no one could get mad or nothing like that. You know, we still had to be friends, and we taught them that kind of stuff. And it was fun. Mm. It was fun. It just didn't last long enough, I think.
Okay, now, do you think that sometimes things don't happen when we want them to happen? Sometimes things don't go the way we would that we intend for them to go. But there's always a greater reason. But just hypothetically speaking, if the program was, you know, going on now, you know, because right now a lot of youth are engaging in criminal activity, and sometimes it's, you know, because they don't have a place where they can go, where they feel like they're loved. Sometimes they don't have a place where they feel like they can go and communicate with people without hurting each other. And, you know, we can't predict the future. We can't say, you know, well, if this was in place and the youth could have went there, then, you know, they wouldn't have got in trouble, because, you know, we can't say that. But if you know, in later part of 2018, later part of 2019 and going forward, if you guys were able to start back up, put down the guns and pick up the mic, or either train some other people how to do it, or even if someone who you didn't even know came up with that idea and got it back started, from your own opinion, how do you think that would help reduce some of the crime in New Orleans during the summertime and even when school is in?
Yeah. It works, but we me and Darlene, we supported the kids. We were there. We were there at every function that they had. We were there. It was like we were a part of them. I mean, I couldn't rap or nothing like that, but I was there. Every time we had a function on Friday night, I was there. And I supported them. And you know, I knew it worked because I was somewhat blind and not totally. And I knew it worked because they knew me. Mm-hmm. Everywhere they saw me in the city, it was, "Hey, Mr. Ernest, how you doing today?" And it's, you know, you can actually feel the change in a person when someone cares. They need to be heard. They need to have a voice. And I mean, we as adults need to hear those voices. And that would help a whole lot. And yes, if they did it, if it came up again, I would love to be there, a part of it, you know, but I would still love for somebody younger than me to actually run it for them, you know, because it helped a whole lot, you know, and it detours them from crime. It really does. I think it does. I mean, anything positive, it overwhelms negative, you know.
Yes, sir. And Mr. Ernest, we definitely, you know, admire your courage and your strength and your faith to do what you had done for children, even though you had been battling some visual challenges, and that's very commendable. And so there's something else we would like to know, and do you think, in your opinion, that the experience that the youth got from Put Down the Guns and Pick Up the Mics, such as, you know, for example, Lil Wayne, if you hadn't have had that program, do you think maybe Lil Wayne, or maybe even some other youth that came there, that could have probably moved to another city in the state of Louisiana, probably moved to another state, and started, you know, becoming a artist and started perfecting their craft. But if you guys hadn't have laid that foundation, do you think it's possible Lil Wayne probably wouldn't have right now be among the greatest rappers in the industry, have you know, went platinum, have went gold, if they hadn't have had that experience from Put Down the Guns and Pick Up the Mic?
It's hard to say, but I think it helped them all a whole lot, because it was places that certain youths couldn't go in certain areas. And we brought all the areas of New Orleans together. We brought the Ninth Ward, the Seventh Ward, the Holly Grove, the St. Thomas Project. We brought all the kids that even thought they could rap. And it's not just men. We had women rapping there. Mm-hmm. With young ladies, you know, that was rapping. And it was a time that we saw they wasn't after fighting each other. They was actually getting along with each other. And yes, I do think that helped Lil Wayne to get off his mark, because he just about won every contest they had. Every contest they had, he just about won every Friday. He was just about the best rapper every Friday, because the way we had it set up was the crowd judged who won.
Okay.
You know, who? I mean, we had a crowd. We had a crowd of adults. We had a crowd of teenagers, a crowd of, you know, middle-aged people. And, I mean, we had a nice crowd in there, and we picked the winners. And they went along with it. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, they went along with it, and they was glad to come try every Friday to get better. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I think it had a big difference in his career, and I think it would have a big difference in any other youth's career. And it's not just about put down the guns and pick up the mics. It's about everything that you can do to support African-American youths or any other youths, Hispanic, whites, any other youth in the city of New Orleans to do what they feel in their heart to do.
Okay. Now, the way that your program ran, put down the guns and pick up the mic. And I'm sure there's other programs running in the city. Might not be rap battle. It might be chess. It might be reading books. Mm-hmm. It might be drawing. Mm-hmm. But the collective effort of people like you, people like the Silverback Society, people like the Kramer Center, Father's Advocacy, mm-hmm. Brother's Advocacy, all of those different groups taking a certain avenue, whether it's athletics, rapping, education, and they say that, you know, all of the rivers, all of the streams, all of the lakes, they all empty out in the ocean. Mm-hmm. And so, do you think the youth, today's youth, will have a better impact 20 years from now, impacting society in a positive way by attending such programs?
Yeah, I think a lot of youths need something to do with time. You know, time is not, once it's gone, you can't get it back. So you have to give them something positive to do. I mean, you know, inquiring minds want to know.
Yes, sir.
So as long as you teach them, they'll accept it. They'll suck that up. They like that. They like you showing that you are concerned about them in any way possible, any form or fashion. Yeah. I really do think it's gonna be the youth are gonna run this city after a while. So we moving out.
Yes, sir.
You know, so you gotta have to teach them, and they're gonna have to learn it.
Yes, sir.
So I mean, if you're not teaching them nothing, somebody's gonna teach them. Mm-hmm. Somebody's gonna teach them something. Now, whether it's the person that you want to teach them or the person that you don't want to teach them, that's totally up to society. Mm-hmm. Because they're gonna learn. They're gonna learn either the right thing to do, or they're gonna learn the wrong thing to do. You know, it's up to society to take those youths under their wing and show them which way to go.
Yes, sir. Okay. Now. Finally, we would like to know, and I'm sure other people in the city would like to know. You know, whatever they're good at, and whatever the youth that live in their community, neighborhood, or part of the city like to do. What would you recommend? What suggestions would you provide? And what type of input would you insert to the people of New Orleans to let them know how you got started with put down the guns and pick up the mic, or if someone may want to start something else, what kind of words of wisdom and advice could you give them so they can maybe start something up to help the youth?
The first thing you have to that we did, I mean, it wasn't just me, it was me, Darlene, our son, and a couple other people, like her sister and a few of us, but we just recognized what they wanted to do. Her son really recognized it because he was out there in the community. Mm. And we supported his idea. And it was his idea because he was a youth. Mm-hmm. You know, he wasn't as old as us, and he wasn't as young as the youths. Mm. But he knew what they was up to. You have to talk to him. That's the first thing you have to do is communicate with them. You can't be afraid of them because they're looking for you to teach. Don't think because they think they know everything that they do, because they don't. And they know they don't. They're looking for positive instruction. That's like I said before. They're going to get it from you, or they're going to get it from somebody else. So you want to give them positive instruction. Matter of fact, you want to talk to them. Kind of get down on their level and see what they're thinking. See what's in their head. And then you can tell which way they want to go. They'll share that with you. If you get down to their level and talk to them, they'll share which way they want to go. And if you can help them, good. If you can't, then you find somebody who can. And that'll change the way the youth are going now. But just to let them go like they're going, that's because they wasn't taught by the ones that needed to teach them, like their parents.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? If your parents don't teach you first, then you don't learn. You learn from whoever teach you in the street.
Yes, sir. Well, Mr. Ernest, really, it was an honor to have you here today, here on the A Community Voice radio show. The Community Voice is thankful for you to come. Thank you for what you have done for the youth. And we hope that the people of New Orleans can learn from you and enhance programs that are currently existing. Create programs for the future and learn from those in the past. And you've been a great person and a man that has impacted the youth here in New Orleans, and we really appreciate you.
Thank you.
This is A Community Voice talk show, 90.3 FM. Brandon Dorrington, Mr. Ernest. And we're thankful to be here today on a Community Voice talk show. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
I've been listening to A Community Voice on WAMFLP New Orleans on 90.3 FM and streaming at WAMF.org. WAMF is an all-volunteer, non-commercial radio station, so if you would like to volunteer to host your own show, please give us a call at 504-605-0746 or drop us a line at WAMF.org.